We are currently sound checking in this bitch. We are sound checking in this bitch.
What?
Sound checking in this bitch. Sound checking in this bitch.
Oh, what?
Sound check. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? We're recording. I can see the yellow light at the top of my screen.
Girl, talk to me with the real quiet voice. Choice. Your girl ain't been in your bag. Don't do it like that. Knock him down, more, let's go. I'm on a sip until the pain wears off.
No. To keep that thing going, man. Honestly,
I never said the offense was going to, as a whole, was going to be like trash. But I think Patrick Mahomes, the days where you can draft them in the
while
first
we sound checking, you know, I just want to do a quick shouts out to the All Takes No Breaks podcast. I watched 2 episodes today, well, an episode and a half, because, you know, then I had to kind of work, you know, do my thing too. But
absolutely, just
Gino and Dover had to shout y'all out on the show. Hope y'all could hear that.
Not to mention great intro. We were talking about that off air. Yeah. Makes me wish we had that sometimes.
Jamming with the hottest disc jockey.
Disc jockey.
Woke up quick at about noon. Just thought that I had to be in Compton soon. I gotta get drunk before the day begins. Before my mother starts bitching about my friends. About to go and damn near went blind. Young niggas at the pad throwing up gang signs. Ran in the house and grabbed my clip with the Mac-10 on the side of my hip. Bailed outside and pointed my weapon. Just as I thought, the fools kept stepping. Jumped in the foe, hit the juice on my ride. I got front and back and side to side.
Jamming with the hottest disc jockey.
Disc jockey.
Welcome to another edition of the Beer Buds Banter. That's the 3B podcast. I am your boy, Heartbreak Kamikaze, here with my phenomenal,
really rich,
my phenomenal tag team partner, but the phenomenal Pat Wick.
Welcome, everybody. I am the phenomenal Pat Wick, always joined by my heartbreak tag team partner, Kamikaze. You are listening to the Beer Buds Banter. Once again, thank you for listening. We are here every Saturday of every week. We have no life. It is our job to be here every Saturday, giving you the best of the sports, wrestling.
Our life just revolves around sports.
Absolutely.
So, here we are, here again, to talk some sports. We do have a opening segment to talk about that's got me really excited, but before we jump into that, I want to piggyback off of last week's show, you know, because we told y'all we was going to go play some b-ball.
That's correct.
We told y'all we was going to go play some b-ball.
We did not just play the b-ball.
We dominated.
We dominated the b-ball. At one time, Kamikaze leading the game 8-1. We came through and just dominated. Now, granted, it was 11-5, and we let that lead kind of slip back, but when it came down to executing.
But we only let the lead slip a little bit because we was trying to get a little fancy towards the end, you know. If we'd have kept on doing what we was doing the entire game, which is dishing it in, getting the easy buckets on the inside when they would freaking guard the three-point line, and then dishing it out and let me, you know, do my thing, you know, from the three-point, you know, when they would try to defend the inside, you know. So, but that's what we was doing, but it got to, you know, being like 10, it was 8-1, and it was 10-3, you feel me? And I was trying to get Pat with the last ball inside, despite the fact that they were just, you know, guarding. And I was like, fuck it, you know? You know, fuck it. You know, Pat, check it up. When we got a turnover, because I think they threw it out of bounds, you know, something happened. We weren't calling no fouls in the game, so it wasn't no foul or nothing like that. But somebody had to, you know, lose the ball out of bounds or something like that. But yeah, I'm like, Pat, you check it up, and then just fucking pass it back to me. Pass it back to me, and then, you know, me, straight pull up. Yeah, finish that game 12-5, because your boys had a plan. The whole time.
The whole time. We game planned
that up. And then we executed it like we rolled it straight down on the paper.
Not only did we execute Kamikaze, we looked great doing it, garnishing the purple and yellow of the Lakers.
Yes. And you know your boy was in the purple because that's my favorite color.
And your boy was in the yellow because, hey, that's LeBron James' jersey I have. So, once again,
have a bad day.
Thank you.
And once again, we are victorious, and we gladly gloat that victory on the air.
Yeah, we definitely going to, you know, flex our cheese on that one, you know.
Flexing the cheese.
We did exactly what we said we was going to do. We told y'all on this show last week that we was ready to go on the court and dominate. We went on the court and dominated.
And I hope the Lakers or executives are watching Kamikaze, because we executed Laker ball.
Laker ball.
We executed showtime.
Two-man game all time.
Right. I had the white Kobe influence in me. I had the spirit of one Kobe Bryant and one Gigi Bryant inside of me. And it showed.
I don't know whose spirit I had in me that I can call from the Lakers. Maybe it was a Shannon Brown who would just pull up from three and you think he not going to make it and then he just drop it, you know?
No, that's disrespect.
Give me a big fish.
That's disrespect, man.
You know, something like that.
KCP all the way, baby.
I ain't have an ankle monitor on, though, so I can't claim that. Nah, I take the KCP, you know, KCP pull up, you know. Bruh, but I was raining them out there, you know. I would say I was a Steph Curry, but fuck the Warriors, you know.
No, we don't want you to be a Steph Curry. Not that it would be terrible.
Yeah.
Let's let you be a Klay Thompson if you have to be a Warrior.
I don't want
to
be a Warrior.
There you go. That's right.
I mean, if I was a Warrior, I'd be closer to Klay Thompson because my fucking knee. And I was out that bitch with a pinched nerve, though. That's how impressive that shit is.
The fact that you were able to work through that and still only have one arm after the games we played after the 2-on-2, that was the incredible part for me, because you were hurt. Your arm, your other arm was dead, and yet you still continue to play out there, which, you know.
I mean,
shout out to Kamikaze.
I appreciate that, but hey, you know how I am. I hate when a guy ain't street clothes.
Yeah, you know.
I can't practice it. I can't preach it if I don't practice it. Yes, I will go out there and I will play hurt. Like tomorrow, my knee still don't feel good from last game.
That's right.
But tomorrow, I'm not calling in hurt.
That's right.
Your boy is going to suit up. And we are going to fucking go out there and kick some ass. Straight up.
We are going to be kicking the proverbial ass.
I'm going to show up hurt. You know, that's what I expect from my guys. I, And we get it.
I'm going to take Austin to school.
Yeah, we got to show them.
I'm going to show the country boys out there in Auburndale how we get down here in L-Town.
Yes, sir.
Lakertown.
We're going to treat the Tanners to a helping of this bucket stew.
Yes. Yeah, with some helpings of rebounds that I'm going to cook up.
Yeah, so... But good news is I ain't got a pinched nerve no more, so I'm good.
That is good news.
That's good. It's just the knee now. But the knee ain't holding me back because all I need to do is shoot threes. So
You know what's better than good news, Kamikaze?
Better news. Breaking news. The breaking news for this week is that the timeline is complete. We went from Shawn Michaels is reaching out to Johnny Gargano, to Johnny Gargano is interested, to Johnny Gargano showing up on Raw. The boy was like a kid in a candy store, or a child that believes that, you know, it's not scripted. Because, like, bro, I went back to 6 years old. Like, you know, I went from, you know, doing shit on my laptop for work, watching Raw, peeking at it when I can, you know, to having to close my laptop, set it down gently, because, you know, I don't want to break my baby. Don't want to break the baby. To screaming like a little girl, because Johnny Wrestling's back!
Very excited to see that. Very excited to see the speed of this whole
process
kind of happen. Glad to see the ending that we received with One Theory getting kicked in the face.
That was very fun to watch and great storytelling by every person involved in that situation. Just to remind us that that was a thing, which we could never forget because it was a very great thing down in NXT. You know, we loved the way. But reminding us that that was a thing, making us think that it was going to be a thing again, possibly, and then showing us that, don't nobody fuck with Theory.
I think his time is coming past. I mean, we don't have Candace. We don't have two other faction members in there yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, but we got a glimpse of Loomis.
Well,
Loomis.
I wasn't going to bring him up yet. Let's.
Well,
I want to stay on Johnny.
Family, we can talk him into.
I know. I was going to talk him into, but I don't feel like we've given Johnny enough credit yet.
Okay. All right.
To be witnessing a Johnny return to me is a big deal.
It's a very big deal. Like I told you, bro, I went back to I was a kid again when I heard his music. I was distracted by work shit. And I heard the Rebel Heart music and I'm like, wait a minute, look up. And Johnny was standing there and
Which shows you the excitement.
I let out a screech.
Which shows you the excitement is still there for the fans.
Yeah.
And the fact that you now have Johnny there, it brings you a great caliber wrestler to an already
so
stacked.
Many new opportunities for storyline purposes. You know, you can have him feud with Austin Theory. Maybe have him take the money in the bank from Austin Theory. You know, you can have him find a partner, like a Dolph Ziggler, and then team up them two up against Miz and...
Johnny.
That's
a great
Miz
way of
and,
doing
it. Ciampa.
I'm sorry, yeah, Miz and Ciampa, yeah. No, yeah, it's a great way of looking at it. But that's the excitement of Johnny, is that we don't really know what the next plan is for Johnny. And to have him back in the fold is just the exciting part. It's another wow factor from the Triple H factory. You know, once again, he continues to put on great show after great show. We've commented every Monday how excited we want to see the next show, which is Friday.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, Tuesday.
And Tuesday blows our mind.
And then Tuesday was great because, of course, like you commented, we saw one that's Johnny's wife. We saw, what's Dexter's girl's name?
Indy Hartwell.
We saw Indy Hartwell bear her heart out in the ring.
Right.
For, was it companionship, understanding?
Just not, you know, she felt like she failed herself at that point. So she was just like down in the dumps over some dumb shit. you know, and she said she was gonna, she had plans of walking on her own and doing this and doing that, blah, 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 blah. Fuck what she had to say. She was sad, you know, and to see one Dexter Loomis
absolutely
pop up, you know. You know, and then they do their little slide in the ring into their face-to-face, you know.
It's man-tastic. You know, it's a male soap opera that's done doing it well.
Right.
With a guy that doesn't even fucking talk.
Right. Right.
With a guy that doesn't even say fucking shit. Talk. He draws pictures.
Dude don't say anything. He draws pictures, write notes, you know.
And that's it.
Man said, I'll see you soon, walked outside and got arrested for the, what, fifth time in a row?
But the little sprinkles we've seen of him.
Bro, I'm excited. Not to mention
the previous Monday.
Yeah, where he kidnapped Miz.
Where he kidnapped Miz. So we're just seeing a little bit and it's working. You're getting that little
bit. That's why the whole Johnny thing makes sense. You feel me? To me, feuding with the Miz and Ciampa. Because, well, Loomis already kidnapped Miz.
Well, there's, like you mentioned previously, there's maybe a little more to that story. We're going to let WWE and Triple H
tell it to us
so because we don't want to look too much into it.
Because you guys have been doing a phenomenal job with expressing storylines to us these past few, you know.
And let's not get too quenched on the table just yet. I feel like this is just the beginning of the door opening for a lot of former stars and maybe new stars to come and be a part of WWE again. You know, I feel like with this, I really don't know what to expect from this Triple H reign, you know. And, you know, I hope him and Nick Khan and Stephanie McMahon can continue to pump out this kind of, because I don't want it to stop. I really don't. I want it to keep going. I want it to, you know, be something that it once was. The greatest show on Monday night and Friday night and Tuesday night. So, going forward, I want to make sure that people are watching.
Yes.
Not to mention, we have a little wrestling event we're going to in TCW. And September 2nd, we hope you're there. Tanner's Lakeside. Great show. You will not be disappointed. We're excited to go.
Very excited to go.
We just settled with our friend, and we're going to get the, you know, best table in the house. 10 top, right in front of the
we
ring.
We always get the best table in the house. So, I mean...
What the hell?
I don't really want to say it and say, oh, because we're 10 top, we're getting the best table. We always get the best table in the house.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it's good to go to the places and get some respect, you know? That's what you want sometimes in life, is a little respect.
Just a little appreciation. Yeah.
All right. So
Dover talking trash. I guess he playing Madden, and he got the Dolphins, and he playing against the Ravens, and he up 20-0, telling something, get ready for week 2. I said, not a chance that happened.
All right, we say bye bye to wrestling.
Now. Thank you. All right, we are back. Pumping our whistles. Because. We're going to talk about some basketball.
We're not playing.
We're talking basketball. I know I'm singing. But that's only because I'm eating. You know. And when I eat, I sing sometimes, you know. Because I'd be so happy to eat.
So what Kamikaze is alluding to is that the Lakers made what we felt was an interesting
The Lakers. That's so funny.
Made an interesting deal over the week.
Interesting or stupid?
Interestingly stupid. Let's just say that. Because you trade Horton Tucker Jr.
Right.
And
Stanley Johnson.
I want to say at this point of his career, he's probably, what, 33, 35 years old, Patrick Beverly?
Yeah.
For a Patrick Beverly at this point in his age, aren't we just doing the same thing we did last year when it came to attaching ourselves to aging veterans.
Yeah.
Like, what do we see in Patrick Beverley to trade our best, at times, one of our best scorers off the bench? What do we see in the logic of that, Kamikaze? What makes you think, man, not just to get...
What makes you think we can afford to trade a big with the health history of one Anthony Davis?
No. I never said trading a big.
No, I don't know. I'm just saying, not you specifically. I'm talking about Rob Pelinka,
That's
Rob,
a big...
The only answer I have for any of these moves she's making is Rob Pelinka hates the Lakers. For real. Like, dead ass.
Fire!
It doesn't make a lot of sense, Kamikaze, in the fact that we want to go younger. We want to stay younger. Horton Tucker was a younger scorer for us. He, at times...
is inconsistent, which... Patrick Beverley is too, so.
Well, and then I don't know what you're getting there, because if you're telling me that his defensive prowess is
why... He wasn't... Nah, that's not what it was.
Well, and then what's the attraction? It can't be salary. I don't think we're paying Horton Tucker all that much. And I'm sure it was on a year-to-year basis, if not a 2-3-year deal. And this is just the type of moves that the Lakers organization makes, and it just... makes you want to scratch your head.
Right.
Makes you want to look at Rob Pelinka and say, what's your plan here, Rob? Because you're taking points away for I'm going to say defense. That's the only thing I can think Patrick Beverley has at this point, is because it's not his consistent scoring by any means.
Right. And I don't understand why you decide to trade for him. Dude, our potential starting lineup looks something like this. Russell Westbrook, Patrick Beverley, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Damian Jones.
As your starters. You're going to look at this list. You know, this couldn't have been a LeBron sign-off, right?
It can't make a move without LeBron signing it off. LeBron just resigned.
So, to me, what we're calling it, a LeBron James deal. If you're LeBron James, aren't you adding more pressure on your shoulders at, 35, 38, whatever he is?
Maybe that's what he wants, pressure.
He can't balance the team by himself.
Look,
street clothes isn't there enough to really make a difference. And we don't know what type of Russell Westbrook we're going to get this season. We really don't.
I think we've seen the real Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, but...
when the ball ain't going through him, he's ass. Every team he's been on, the ball goes through him. So... he could score a lot, but he was never really efficient.
He's just more of volume, right? Let me take 50 shots to make 25 points.
Right. Let me get the volume in there. And he's not getting the volume in the Lakers because the ball goes through LeBron. It's supposed to run through AD, but, street clothes is street clothes.
And it's one of those things you look at and the Russell Westbrook even more baffles you even more, and that adds to the non-mystique of one Rob Pelinka when, we look at his tenure and what really has he wowed us with?
Right.
Overpaying for Anthony Davis?
Yes. That's he wowed us with, overpaying.
Adding LeBron James at this point, I think, is probably it.
Did he do that or did Magic bring...
No, I think you're right. I think Magic did that. So, then you look at it, what has Rob Pelinka really done? He's overpaid for Anthony Davis, which gave us a one-year success. Yes, it got us another banner. Yes, we can't overlook that ring or banner, but what is that deal done in long term? Because, so many deals can be done in a short term and a long term basis. So, obviously, short term, Anthony Davis worked out great. Long term, the injury plague that he dealt with in New Orleans should have really been an indicator. We really should have looked elsewhere. You know, especially when you hear the glowing regard of all-star potential players that did want to go to the Lakers, were in deals with the Lakers at certain times, and yet we decided not to go with DeMar DeRozan or Kyle Lowry or Buddy, you know?
Hield, like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, these type of players. Was there a Patrick LaVine?
Zach LaVine
interest at one time, maybe?
I think there was talks about some Zach LaVine interest as well.
So, and you look at those...
Then we didn't re-sign Alex Caruso.
And then you hear a sprinkling of the dollar amount that it would have taken to get those type of players and the assets we could have kept. You're scratching your head and you're thinking, in this ham coaching regime, do we owe ourselves to really look at ourselves and let's give Coach Ham the GM that he deserves?
And really, not a sports agent as a GM?
Correct. Because we've experimented now with it. And I call it an experiment because when have we seen an agent become a general manager for a basketball team? Especially with such a high regarded one as the Los Angeles Lakers establishment is. You know, the experiment is over. We need to get a qualified general manager. Somebody that works well with LeBron James. I would look even to maybe his old general manager back in Cleveland. Bringing him on. Working the magic that they worked so eloquently in Cleveland.
I want to get rid of LeBron.
Fired!
All right, let's dive into that. We signed him to a 2-year, $98 million deal.
I want to get rid of LeBron.
You want to get rid of LeBron. You want to get rid of our best player statistically.
Yes.
You want to get... For what?
To get younger.
To get younger and...
Get younger, build around our youth, young players, take a couple of seasons off for the playoffs, and start it over.
Okay, so you want to blow it up.
Yes.
At this point.
Yes.
Knowing that what? Anthony Davis does not have has a no-trade clause in his contract, correct?
He can stay. I said I want to trade LeBron.
I'm just wondering where this scoring is going to come from now.
We ain't scoring. That's not the plan the next couple of years.
Do the Lakers tank?
It's not tanking. Bro.
That's what you're telling me to do, though.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you to trade LeBron because he's a cancer. They don't make this move without LeBron signing off on it. You know this. I know this. Why would LeBron sign off on this?
When it comes, I think, to the Lakers organization, their success is dictated to player success. You know, there was a Kareem and Magic era. There was a Kobe and Shaq era. There was a Paul Gasol Kobe era. And there was a LeBron and I guess Anthony Davis 1 year. So let's just say LeBron James.
And Anthony Davis era?
Era, yes.
Yeah, it was definitely an era.
Right. So you look at that and you look at that organization. It's an organization that just can't have a face. Of an organization without you can't have a face player there and expect success. Like you can't have a bona fide all star. You cannot not have that as a Laker organization. So that you're going to sign players like LeBron James to a 2-year, $98 million because you know.
So you don't think LeBron's worth anything in the trade block? Because I'm not saying trade LeBron for peanuts. Like, don't trade LeBron for pistachios. You know, get something in return that we can attach our team to.
I just don't think the Lakers have the balls to do that. I think that'd have to be a LeBron James decision where he was unhappy with his current situation and demanded a trade.
He can't admit that he's unhappy with his current situation because everybody knows he put himself in his current situation.
I feel like if you can back out of the possible Miami Heat, you know, if you can talk yourself out of that.
He didn't talk himself out of that. He became a free agent and then left.
Well, but then what did
we talking about trading him?
No, I'm saying with the regard of you promised fans, you know, 5, 6, 7, and then you booked it once you became a free agent. You went to Cleveland for a second time.
Because you wanted to bring a championship home.
But I'm saying, to go back to a team a second time, very hard to do. Very hard to do.
Is it when you're a hometown kid from Akron? And you LeBron James?
I'm just saying, not everybody goes back to the original team that drafted them and have that kind of success.
That's what happens with the Ravens a lot of times.
Well, we're talking about basketball and football. But all I'm saying is that you can't have a face of an organization like the Lakers. You can't be without a face. LeBron James is that face.
We can. We have. And my point is, you want to continue to expect success. You want to continue to be the Lakers of old and continue to dominate, you know. But that's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about here is us deciding to take a step back, save some draft picks, keep some youth, and build around what we have. Because at some point we'll hit the lottery again. I'm not saying tank. Don't lose games on purpose. Build a roster, try to win. If it don't work, give it time.
You know who you could sell LeBron James to?
Who?
The New York Knicks.
Cleveland.
They have the young assets we require.
Who?
As far as the Cavaliers.
I take Colin Sexton.
He could be a face.
I take Colin Sexton.
Kyle Sexton, and then, you know, the next 3 or 4 draft pick, first round picks, take that. If Rudy Gobert can command that,
right,
I can get at least an all-star, maybe some role players, and about 4 years worth of draft picks. I'm cool with that. But and I'm going to pull up Tony Montana here. That requires balls, Chico. I don't think Rob Pelinka has his balls anymore. I think Jeannie Buss has them in her.
Yeah, they locked in her charity case.
Yeah, they're locked in her desk. Because you look at a move like that, it makes complete sense at a point where you know what you have in the future with LeBron James, and it doesn't look very good when you look at your lack of draft picks over the next few years until you can get draft picks. And you look at what he's available now.
Now you see my vision.
And then you look at the availability, those draft picks that you would acquire for, not to mention the sustainability you could by while acquiring a Kyle Sexton, you're bringing a youth. But I would have to agree that we'd have to couple Russell Westbrook in that deal.
We can get rid of him too.
We have to. We're gonna blow it up. I'm not letting any older.
Well, obviously he was in my plans to get rid of too, but
let's be honest.
He ain't an asset at this point.
He's a liability. He's with us for another year, right? Let's be honest. He's with us for another year. So we get through this year, and we'll see what happens.
Nah, just get rid of him. I don't even. How is that point guard rotation going to be? Russell Westbrook, Pat Beverly.
I'm not Rob Pelinka. You're asking the wrong guy. I would have never pulled the trigger on this. Now, if you're telling me that Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverly are my starting guards, I'm going to look at that and say that most of every West guards are going to shred that defense.
Yeah.
They're going to look at Russell Westbrook.
Well, Russ don't play defense.
Well, that's my
and
point.
Patrick Beverly is a foul out waiting to happen.
Exactly. So what are you requiring? You're basically allowing everybody in the West and most teams in the East to shoot freely.
Yeah.
So I hope that our rebounding is going to get better this year, because that's what it's going to take.
Yep.
Because people are going to shoot against us, especially with those type of guards and their skill sets. Look
Fuck
for
you,
us.
Rob Pelinka.
I'm gonna say it. for the microphone gods to listen to, I want Rob Pelinka out by halfway through the season.
No, I want him out before the season starts. I want him out now.
I figure if you're Ham and you have any power or stroke to flex right now, you say you walk into Jeannie Buss's office and you say, listen, I can't win with the guys this guy's trying to give me. And I need guys that I can work with. Patrick Beverley is just not one of those aging defenders that I want to work with right now.
Right. I don't know what haven't we learned by trying to put a bunch of old guys together last year. When our young guys couldn't stay healthy or consistent. You know what? I'm tired of this segment. Fuck.
I'm going to jail!
Fuck this Patrick Beverley trade. The Lakers gonna suck this year. Either way, we need to just sell a farm.
Fired!
Point blank period. Point blank period! All right.
Fired!
Let me know when you're ready.
And hello to Black Sheets. New segment.
I'm back. It's Black Sheep. We got a new segment in store for you guys today. Starting today, actually. Called Black Sheep Fantasy Farm. We're going to do it all this NFL season and see how it goes. Today's episode, I'm going to do some bold predictions. Get it started popping. Let's sit down. Let's get ready to eat. You know, I got like the blunt up before I speak some real shit. Alright. So first off, I'm gonna go with two running backs I think that's gonna finish top five in fantasy PPR leagues this year. And that is DeAndre Swift and Devontae Williams. I think those guys both are gonna finish two of the top five. I'm not gonna give you the other three right now. Y'all gonna have to come back for the next series. Now, tight ends, not top five, but top 10, two sleepers that will be in the top 10 is Irv Smith and Albert O. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, from the Denver Broncos, and Irv Smith from the Minnesota Vikings. Now I go in depth a little bit. DeAndre Swift, the games he did play, at least 70% of the snaps last year, he averaged the third most points per game PPR leagues. Javonte Williams is Jonathan Taylor. He is that dude. Everybody keeps saying Melvin Gordon coming back. Everybody keeps saying this and that. Hey, Melvin Gordon even stressing they trying to give the keys to Javonte Williams. Why? Because he's really that dude. You ain't gotta listen to me. I told you guys, Jonathan Taylor, y'all ain't listen to me last year. But anyways, sleeper tight end, see, tight end top five is gonna be, you know, Andrews, Kelsey if he stays healthy, Waller if he stays healthy, Kilder if he stays healthy, Pitts, Shorts, Darton Shorts, you know, and then you got, you know, the Mike the G's, the Dallas Goberts, the Zach Ertz. But I think two guys that would slide in that top 10 that would kind of be sleepers, Albert O from the Denver Broncos or Irv Smith. I like Jordan and Dynasty Leagues for the Texans. Kirk Cousins hit or miss. He could have a breakout year, but then he was supposed to break out last year, and, you know, we know what happened. So it depends on how that offense, how bad that offense really is. Now, wide receivers, I give you guys a couple of guys I think were finished in the top 10, and then a couple of sleepers. Wide receiver 1 through 5 range, I think a guy that's a sleeper that could end up in that range is Mike Evans. That's been there before. I think if he stays healthy, Chris Godwin's coming back. He's going to take a few weeks. You know, Russell Gage's new. Julio's new. He's, you know, even if he plays the whole season, which, come on now. But I think Mike Evans could be in that 1-5 range this year in fantasy football PPR league for sure. I really do. I think Diggs is going to be up there again this year. I think CD Lamb is going to be up there this year. I really do. I think CD Lamb will be in the top 10 this year in fantasy football PPR leagues. So that's three. That's three of the top 10 I'll give you guys right now. Now, some sleepers that I think could finish in the top 30 wide receivers. Courtland Sutton from the Denver Broncos. Juju Smith from the Chiefs now. Gabe Davis from the Buffalo Bills. If anybody in the Chargers go down, like Mike Williams or Keenan Allen, I think Josh Palmer could sneak up there. If Alan Thielen miss any time, I think KJ Osborne could slip up in there. Rondale Moore could slip up in there with D-Hop being suspended. Hollywood might, may or may not get suspended. Chris Olave, Sky Moore, Christian Watson's healthy. He could slide up in there. He was originally my number one guy. So I won't even doubt my guy Watson. Don't sleep on him. Don't sleep on him. Jerry Jeudy, he's a hit or miss. Elijah Moore, hit or miss, you know. But yeah, this is a quick try one. See how it goes for the Black Sheep Fantasy Farm. I ain't really take no notes or nothing. Ain't really get ready like I should have prepared. I'll be way more prepared next time for you guys. But this is straight money talk right here. Straight money. If you want to take this, run with it. Join some money leagues. Hey, you don't even got to give me nothing. You could just thank me. Give me a shout out. I'll be back next week. More in depth, more prepared, more ready for you guys. Until then, y'all be safe. Black Sheep out.
And that can only mean one thing. Welcome back. Beer Buzz Banter.
Beer Buzz Banter.
We want to comment on one Baker Mayfield and the Carolina Panthers. For a moment, if we can, Kamikaze.
We shall. And I'm going to, you know, go ahead and flex a little bit of muscle. Because like I thought, Big Mayfield went over to the Carolina Panthers and won that starting job.
Once Baker Mayfield came with two scoring drives in his recent preseason game, looked efficient, moved well with the offensive line.
Like 11 to 13 or some shit like that.
You look at Baker, and then, of course, you hear about Sam Darnold's injury, of course, and likely...
Which, Baker was named the starter before Sam Darnold went down, so it's not like, he only is the starter because Sam got hurt. Nah, they named it before that.
No, my point is now... This is truly a Baker's team because you no longer have that quarterback controversy. This is Baker's team. Obviously, like you said, Kamikaze.
There was no controversy. Baker Mayfield is the better quarterback.
You say that. You give me the quarterback from last year still on the roster with a new quarterback now. You can't tell me that there aren't favorites. This is a team. Certain people like certain players better. I'm not saying it's right. You've played on teams before, whether you like a player or you don't like a player, players have favorites. And all I'm saying is that if you started Baker Mayfield, which you did.
Which they are. They will.
And now you don't have Sam Darnold anywhere answering questions, bothering anybody, looking for his point of view.
Taking the fucking atmosphere.
Correct.
With his suckiness.
Absolutely. And now you don't have that, and now you can truly allow Baker to be Baker, which made him so successful in Cleveland. You know, that he was allowed to make plays.
Look at you speaking so glowingly about Baker when you didn't even believe in him.
Oh, I thought the voice or the audio was pretty clear that I'm speaking to the regards of I was down on Baker.
I know.
And now I want to give Baker his just desserts. So while I eat this crow.
His flowers.
Right. While I eat this crow.
Get a man quick, his flowers.
I want to give him his flowers. Eat this crow real quick. And speak glowingly on Baker for Mayfield for the first and hopefully last time of this show. I will speak glowingly of Baker. But I want to make sure I give him his due. He earned the spot. He wasn't on the roster at the beginning until the beginning of the summer. He came in, did his work, did his thuggies, as one Heartbreak Kamikaze would say.
He did his thuggies.
Earned his spot. And now he can comfortably run that team without any distractions. And for me, it just gives another notch to the team of Carolina that I haven't have to beat with one Baker Mayfield being that I'm a Buccaneers fan. So I look forward to the challenge that one Baker Mayfield will...
You can have that little scrappy motherfucker in your division now, sir. Now you can really see the real Baker Mayfield because you've been down on Baker Mayfield for a long time because of the team success. I'm telling you, Baker is way scrappier than you think he is. He's never really out of a game until the game is over. So the one thing about Baker is, yeah, he's going to make a lot of mistakes. He's going to throw y'all a lot of balls, you know.
Right.
Because y'all play disciplined defense, you know.
We have to.
But he will still come back and still keep slinging that pill and throw a strike when he needs to, so... You know, but y'all got the gold over there, so we ain't got nothing to worry about, right?
The gold. Yes, we do have the gold.
Yeah, the gold. Yeah. We'll have a little bit of football talk for Black Sheep later in Sheep's Fantasy Farm. Sheep's new segment. Yes, sir.
We look forward to that segment, and make sure you take notes, because when you're talking about a guy that GM'd his team to the championship, right?
Yeah. Our league last year, and he traded away pretty much his entire drafted team.
He probably led, I don't want to say probably led, because I'm sure between you and him, as far as trades throughout the season, I think I want to say...
Nah, and transactions period, bro, she blew everybody away.
All right, so transactions period, he blew away.
We have unlimited transactions. We are not going to restrict transactions. We're not going to restrict your GM moves. We want you to be smart in our league or be dumb in our league if you want to be dumb. But, yeah, she dominated on the smarter side of it because he was constantly moving, playing matchups. He was sacrificing his players that he loved for players that had a better matchup, you know. He was dropping players, picking up players every week, you know, to play matchups. And, I mean, I met him in a championship, and by that point, he had traded for Ja'Marr Chase, whom he didn't draft. You know, and Ja'Marr Chase ate me alive. So, shouts out to Sheep. Shouts out to Sheep's Fantasy Farm, which is our newest segment. It's going to be awesome. But we got to talk some rivalry now, Pat.
Well,
we gotta go from being friends to frenemies.
And he can only be speaking of the beginning of college football.
Let's go, Buckeyes.
And as of today, Kamikaze, you are previewed to college football on the TV. Welcome back. It's been a long time away, ladies and gentlemen. We were looking at college football on the TV now. Some of you will be enjoying Nebraska versus Northwestern.
Yes.
Over in Europe. Some of you will be watching other games like Illinois.
Yeah, that's the only other team that I can remember that's playing. So, it's a bunch of really, 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 really not interesting teams. Well, that Nebraska Northwestern game is kind of interesting to me, but... So then, other than that, you know, it's nothing really interesting on. But because, you know, next week is the real big, big kickoff.
Which was my segue into that. We have, between the two of us, Kamikaze being the Buckeye fan, Pat Wick being the
Irish fan.
We have, obviously, the first game of our season will be versus each other. And, you know, we've talked about it. throughout the weeks and the months leading up to it. Now we're here almost a week away.
We'll have to record that show early that week.
You know, I'm pretty sure it's going to be the game of the week. You know, I don't think anything really tops that.
Yeah, but I want to watch Big Noon.
So, I'm going into it a little excited, kamikaze, because I get to see Tyler Buchner, one sophomore quarterback from San Diego, California. You know, you are one team that likes your California quarterbacks.
We always get a Cali kid.
So for me, the times I did see him last year when Jake Cohen,
who,
our former senior quarterback for last year,
Jake Cohen.
You saw a glimpse of him when he was down. You liked his I liked his mobility. I liked his decision making, and for a guy that young to kind of play the way he did.
Who's your running back?
Doesn't matter.
Because they're running behind a great offensive line.
They're running behind one of the greatest offensive line. The top one recruiting class for the 2003 class, kamikaze. And I want to talk about that.
2003?
Number That's one recruiting 10
years
class.
Ago, bro. We don't need to be talking about
that. I'm sorry. 2023. I apologize.
Okay.
2023 recruiting class number one, kamikaze. And I want to segue into this. You're not in the Big Ten Conference. You should be in the Big Ten Conference. So hopefully
who's not in the Big Ten Conference?
We are not in the Big Ten Conference. So you're getting a taste now what we could play. And to me, you don't become great teams unless you play great teams. So for me, I'm looking at this like, listen, you want to be the best. You got to beat the best.
Here's my question. Can a Notre Dame Irish stop Ohio State from scoring 40?
I can't think so.
Because if they can't stop us from scoring 40, you can't beat us.
Only way I could see us winning, and this is the only way if we were successful, is to use what we have availability when it comes to great offensive line, one great tight end. And
ball control, that can stop us from scoring 40.
And working your way down the field systematically. 3 yards here, 5 yards there.
Ball control. That's a way to stop us from scoring 40 because if we don't possess the ball 100 times, we can't score our points.
And this is truly, without the bowl game last year, let's just be honest, it's a little abrupt to coach a bowl game when you just received the job, when you're just a defensive coordinator. Now,
did y'all not win your bowl game?
We did not win our bowl game.
Damn.
So,
we won our bowl game.
Yes, I know you did. No, you didn't.
Yes, we did. We dominated the Utah Utes.
Yeah, but didn't you guys lose in your CFP playoff game?
We weren't in the playoffs.
Oh, you weren't in the playoffs last year?
No. Oh, okay. I see what you did. All right.
Who was in the playoff last year?
Michigan.
Who else?
Notre Dame.
Okay.
Cincinnati.
All right.
Alabama.
Yeah.
No, it was Georgia.
Yes, it was Georgia.
So who didn't make it?
It was
Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati.
Didn't make it.
No, Cincinnati did make it.
No, they didn't. Who they play?
Georgia.
Well, they got stomped.
Yeah, and then Michigan got stomped by Alabama. So Notre Dame wasn't in the playoffs either.
Anyhow.
No. Don't try coming at me like that.
We weren't in the playoffs last year?
No, y'all weren't in the playoffs. Y'all didn't make it.
What? That's right. We did make it. We still lost in our bowl game, though. Anywho.
That's why y'all played the bowl game, because y'all went in the playoffs. Yeah.
Anywho.
Georgia beat Alabama in the national championship, so those two were definitely in there. I know Michigan was in there, because they only had one loss, and then Cincinnati made it. Y'all had two losses. Just like Ohio State. So, all of that playoff talk was for nada.
Bro, you mad, again, bro?
We won our bowl game because we dominated those Utah Utes. Well, Jackson Smith and Jigba dominated those Utah Utes.
And that's what I'm most fearful of, kamikaze, is the fact that you guys in the passing game, you have so much speed.
And we got to see what the Buckeyes look like in that bowl game, which is why I keep highlighting it, without Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. And we still couldn't be stopped by one of the top defenses in college football.
Not to mention the winner of the Pac-12 championship, right? So it's not like you're playing a slouch.
Right. That was my point there, what I was saying.
So you look at this win for you, it definitely should, if not project you, if there was a W for the Ohio State Buckeyes, if you get this win, I feel like there's no doubt you're 1A, 1B at this point. You're playing a top five team in the country. I don't feel like anybody else is playing a top five. I don't really know the schedule as far as Georgia, Alabama, Clemson. So I couldn't speak on that, but if you look at that type of win, not to mention for us, we would be in the point of conversation now. We've beaten a top five team in Ohio State.
But we weren't ranked top five.
Oh, you weren't ranked in top five?
No.
Oh, man, who's ranked in top five?
It don't matter.
Wait, can you tell me who's ranked in top five, though?
It don't matter.
I believe it's Notre Dame, Clemson.
Who does it matter to?
Georgia, mm-hmm. Alabama.
Clemson's not in it.
Clemson's not in the top five?
No.
Are you controlling? I can see your mouse thing.
You can see it.
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay. I wasn't trying to control your thing. I just
didn't. Oh, no. You're
mad, bro? You mad, bro?
But I want to see a barn burner. But to me, I haven't seen a barn burner against this caliber of team in a long time.
So you're trying to stomp us?
No.
Florida got Utah week one. Speaking of the Utes.
I feel like that's a W for Utah.
I feel like that's a W for Utah, too.
Well, unless you like see that. The true quarterback step up for the Florida Gators.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when they have an established quarterback,
Michigan they are successful. Colorado State. So they'll play a nobody.
We are the game of the week, my friend. Come on.
Wisconsin play Illinois State. They play nobody.
Ah, I light my cigar to welcome the college football season, my friend. It's back and it's here.
So let's wrap up our segment so we can go ahead and watch some kind of football. This whole week, you know.
Yes, sir.
We got to battle each other this Saturday. You feel me? Save all the energy for the game time because we both going to need it. Whichever way this goes, we're going to have to find a way, you know.
Oh, man, I've got to save energy, man. You got Friday TCW. Saturday, I'm sure we got something to do then. Sunday, we have our draft for our fantasy.
Saturday is the game.
Yeah, there you go. Saturday's the Buckeye-Notre Dame game. Sunday's we're drafting for fantasy. I mean, come on, man.
We got some wrestling pay-per-view.
Not to mention, next Monday's Labor Day. So your boy, Pat Wick, is going to be off that day.
I'll be off that day, too.
So it's going to be another great thing. We're going to have a slam jam, thank you, ma'am, type of show. Not to mention, the show we're going to have on that Saturday morning is going to be fantastic, Kamikaze. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. So, alright, that's been our show. Hope you like Chiefs Fantasy Farm. Hallelujah.
Make sure you're listening to us on all your listening podcast devices and everything. Shout out to TCW. Next Friday, we'll be there.
September 2nd at Tanner's Lakeside. And you can find TCW on the Tropics Television Network. TCW, the only place where a referee gets a bigger pop than some of the wrestlers. Just that was the phenomenal Pat Wick. I am the Heartbreak Great Kamikaze. This is the Beer Buds Banter.
Beer Buds Banter.
We are out.